and we're going to resume where we left off a month ago. Everybody remembers we were learning Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, and we're right in the middle of Siman Chaf Gimel in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right in the middle of Siman Chaf Gimel. Now, mistakenly, I printed the sheet beginning with Sif Chof. Actually, should have begun with Sif Yud Tes. Now, Sif Yud Tes is a very short sheet, so I will just summarize what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch said over there. We're about to approach the topic of how many psukim do we read when we read the Torah, and how many psukim do we read for each person. So let's give a drop of general background. Take for example the Kriya on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha. You know, we find it, we just find it written at the back there, what we read. Now, commonly we read the coming week's parsha until Sheni.
May I ask you a question about this Monday and Thursday, which I have long time?
Yeah.
Why are they doing it?
Why what?
Well, why are they doing it before?
Yeah, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it?
Market day.
Huh?
Market day.
He's asking why Monday and Thursday, he's asking why before.
No. They're not saying why this day, not
right, you're asking why before.
Why are they?
So let me talk about that last beginning when we began the Kriyas HaTorah. If I recall, the reason is
because we don't
have to go 3 days without public Torah.
No, I want to tell you. Don't worry. I really don't have this 3 days.
Okay, so Chazal didn't rely on the Mr. Goffman.
Ah, okay.
And they said, good, there should be.
Next question.
Okay, so it's coming down.
Okay, Chazal didn't rely on me. Okay, and they try to make sure that I hear. But right now I said fine.
Yeah.
It's good. They're doing what I'm doing myself anyhow.
Yeah.
If I could not do it, I'm doing myself. I did that. I come, I have breakfast. Then I eat the Torah. I do it for every 3 days. But that's that protection, man. How much I can hear right now here? It is my question actually. What is it? How much I have, I know, shall I say, to listen to it. It's not that I don't hope for.
Yeah.
How much I hear from Monday and Thursday. I decided during this reading group, all this woman will miss it.
Right. So in truth, all these Kriyas, we spoke about this once as well, I think we began Kriyas HaTorah, all these Kriyas are not an absolute obligation on the Yochid. It's not like, say, Megillas Esther, for example, where every person has to hear that Megillas Esther. And if for some reason you want to ensure that you have to make it his business to hear Megillas Esther or a kosher Megillah, come what may. These Kriyas are not 100% like that. They're an obligation which is incumbent upon the tzibur. So it's a little hard to define exactly who is called the civil, but when a civil gather on Monday and Thursday, they have an obligation to see that there should be a Kriyas HaTorah. If there was some yogi who for some reason or other didn't come to the civil, wasn't part of the civil,
he's not going to.
Yeah.
Well, on the other hand, if all the Yehudim start doing
that, you're right, so
be right,
you're right. My boss said, what about everybody doing it? What will he say? Okay, proceed. I just like to see
The actual view of it is that it's correct, people shouldn't try to sort of circumvent the not be part of it. But it's only more because I'm probably not to live life. Okay, let's come back to the main topic. So generally we read until Sheni. Now this reading until Sheni was not mandated by Chazal. This is just the common practice. The absolute field is to read at very least 10 psukim. 10 psukim from this week's parsha. And in fact there shouldn't ever be any kriya that is shorter than 10 psukim. That's basically the content of the secret text, which is printed there on the sheet. Every Kriya should be at very least 10 psukim. There's only one exception to this rule, which is the Kriya on Purim. The Kriya on Purim is only 9 psukim long, because it's a very specific parsha which is related to that day. The parsha of the Melchemes Hamalek is only 9 psukim long. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Purim, mandates that the last pasuk should be repeated in order to make up the standard shiur of 10 psukim. But that's not the end of the Ashkenazim. Not that Moses says we don't do it. We don't do it.
So we repeat the words Zeta, Zeta.
That's something else. That's in Parshas Zohar. Yeah. When we read on Shabbos the Parshas Zohar, that's just to avoid the faintest of how exactly it should be read. The Mishnah adds that there's a certain remnant in this. The parsha of Amalek is shorter than the average parsha. We know that the chain of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Koser. It's written there, not a case cut, just a short chain Hashem. So that'll say the chain of Hashem is Koser until Amalek are obliterated from the world. Likewise, this Kriya is a Koser Kriya. It's a short Kriya, it's a sort of remnant of life.
Sounds
like it. Okay. The river is better to happen even one if it's so. But buzzing does. Yeah. Okay. Good question. But now we're going to move on to Sifah. Sifah also finds a little drop of introduction. The basic idea of it is that how long does every aliyah have to be? Now, once again, we have in our Kabbashim and our Siddurim these standard aliyahs which have already been printed into the Siddur. It's Monday, Thursday, it's Friday, and Israel, on Shabbos, Rishon Sheni, and so on and so forth, which are printed in the Siddur in the Chumash, and that's generally where we call people up. Once again, these stopping points are not mandated anywhere in Chazal, and it appears that in earlier times there were no official stopping points in the formation of the Siddur, and the Baal Kerei just stops wherever, basically wherever he fancies. Mm-hmm. In fact, I once read a historical writer who tried to investigate where exactly do these stopping points that we now have standardized, where did they come from, and his theory was that in bygone times, this used to be a point of tremendous machlokes. Since the Baal Kerei could stop wherever he fancied and start wherever he fancied, so it became like a point of disagreement in shuls, and people would take it like personally. Maybe they would feel that the Baal Kerei stopped at a certain posuk in order to be rubbing something to them, to shush them, to put them down, to make this one like long aliyah, make that one a very short aliyah, and it became like a whole point of disagreement, and there was.
I don't know why I'm
believing it. There was a teacher who took this matter to heart, and he decided he's going to try and institute these standardized aliyahs, so there won't be any more machlokes. And he was not clear, and that's where they come from. Actually, yeah, they don't have a tremendous amount of halakhic significance. Those stopping points, theoretically, the stopping points could be anywhere, provided we follow various guidelines, which we are about to see. So, the guidelines are also relevant to us in another scenario, precisely where we some decide to change the stopping points which are written. But they're also relevant in another scenario, which is we know that on Shabbos, we are allowed to add aliyahs. Those are the basic steps. If we wish, we can add aliyahs. It's quite common to add one, but theoretically you could add even many. So once again, those aliyahs have to take into account the following guidelines which we're going to learn about in the Kiddush Shacharit. Now the primary stopping point will always be, ideally, at a point where there is either a pay or a tumah in the Sefer Torah. Those gaps, whether it's a short gap where the paragraph starts again on the same line, or a longer gap, and the paragraph starts on a new line. Those places are places which are suitable stopping places, they indicate the end of the paragraph. That's where ideally one would stop. In fact, some place to quote a Zohar indicates that one shouldn't stop anywhere else. That's an ideal thing. We don't take the Zohar as absolute halakha lamaisa, but it's an ideal point to stop at a pair of distance. Failing that, we're going to now know that one should never stop within three psukim of a pay or a stomach or a psuk or a stomach of an end of a paragraph. Either if there just was previously the end of a paragraph, so that'd be one plus two psukim, you shouldn't get stopped until after three psukim. Or likewise, if there's only two psukim left until the new parasha, one should not stop over there. And the rationale behind it is if there would be somebody who comes in or goes out in the middle of the Kriyas Torah, we don't have Chazal very concerned about it, we don't want anyone to have the impression that maybe there was or is going to be an Oyel Torah who's only going to read two Sukkim. So if, for example, we would stop two Sukkim into a parsha, somebody might come into Shul, hooked over there, and they'll look back and see where we're now beginning from this point, two Sukkim into the parsha, and they'll have the mistaken impression, they'll think to himself that, okay, this is, oh, probably they began the previous aliyah from the beginning of the parsha, and they stopped over here. Or likewise, if we're going to stop two Sukkim before the end of the parsha, somebody who needs the Shul then might come up with the idea that the next Oyle is going to read until the end of that parsha and read only two Sukkim.
How can I read the Shul?
Yes, so you're going to ask, ah, you're not supposed to leave the Shul in the middle of Kriyas Torah, yeah? Oyle Hashem, it's called people leave the Shul in the middle. But the primary application of that halacha is somebody who leaves literally during the Kriyas Torah, i.e. while the Torah is reading. To read Ben Gavra, to leave Ben Gavra, the Gavra, while it's not recommended, is not an absolute transgression of that halacha, and the Ikar Adin, one may leave at that time. So, that would be an answer to that question. So let's come down and look at this. I see. So, HaKoriyah HaTorah, somebody who is reading, Lo Yisayim, the Mokin Shri Yisrael Bishamah HaParsha, should not conclude in a place where they're not going to be left until the end of the paragraph, Ha'ayim Sukha is Sukha, until the end of that Sukha, or Sukha, given the Sukha Masala, because at least, one should leave at least three Sukha. The Intifah Biris, now what happens if they did this mistakenly, Valkyrie ended over there, and they are left now with two Sukkim. La Ahashestim, the Papas, the Gil Sukkim, some of the Parashat Valkyrie, he stopped within three Sukkim. There's nothing required to be done about it any further after that. In the Torah of the Hachel, a Papas shall follow, one doesn't need to go back, one doesn't need to read back earlier. Having done it, you've done it. But the evidence, there's nothing one needs to do. Don't tell the Valkyrie, so let's start with the next Aliyah. One possible earlier, not necessary. These halachas are good to know well, because all Kriyas HaTorah shaylos are shaylos that just come up and you have to know them. Either you know them or you don't. Afterwards, you discuss it with your friends and you look around and say, oh, we did do right, we didn't do right. So, if you remember these halachas, if this mistake ever happens, you can be the guy who tells them, we don't need to go back, once something's done, you make a bracha and you carry straight on. Right, the answer to the Mokhan Shaposa Parishas, you start from the place where the previous guy concluded, the Yikra Ibai, Oy, Gimel, Sukkim, the Parashah Shia. And then you read those coming two Sukkim, which takes you to the new paragraph, and then you take care when you start the next paragraph to read three Sukkim in, because as we have said, you always read at least three Sukkim into the Parashah as well, don't stop within two of the end of the paragraph. Of a Parashah Sheinbah and a Shnei Sukkim. What happens if we have a paragraph that only has two Sukkim?
The upside down news. That was still
like that. Upside down news. There's another one actually, which is of the Yom HaShabbos. I think there's quite a few actually. Yeah. But of the Yom HaShabbos in Rosh Chodesh, you have a short of two Sukkim of the Yom HaShabbos. That little paragraph is just two Sukkim. Now when we have a paragraph, when the entire paragraph is just two Sukkim, Muslim Hafsik Shom, you are permitted to stop after that paragraph. We don't say, oh, maybe it's like stopping within two Sukkim at the end or beginning of a paragraph. Because the whole thing is only, when in the first place it looks like suspicious because you stopped in the middle of a paragraph, which is strange, then he starts thinking to himself and wondering what's going on. But if you didn't do that, there's no problem. Likewise, in the Piskov and Sopossum, if there is a possible with a paragraph in the middle, there's one or two places in the Torah where we have this, in Parshas Pinchas, by He Afri Halakeitho. Because when it says Parshas Pinchas, he says, Mutter Lesayim, you are permitted to make an aliyah, Afilu, the possible Hastamazwa. Even this is juxtaposed to there. And the Svara is very straightforward, because as we've said, the whole problem is that somebody is going to think that maybe the next Oleh, let's see who stopped just before that, somebody will think that the next Oleh is going to read less than three Sukkim and conclude at the end of the paragraph. Now everybody knows that we don't conclude the Naliyah in the middle of a Pasuk. So there's nobody is going to think to himself, oh, the next Oleh is just going to read, Vayhi Avri HaMageko, And stop in the middle of a pot. There's no such concern. Everybody knows we don't stop in the middle of a pot. So we're not concerned about concluding our aliyah within three psukim of that text.
This means you can stop before Ma'ayah or Ma'ayah?
Yeah.
Or after?
Or after, likewise. Yeah, we're not concerned. Nobody will think to themselves that somebody read less than three psukim because nobody stops in the middle of a pot. The other piece to be thought about over here, what will happen is he stops within two psukim of the end of the kriya. Now, let's say we have a yomshot, yeah, where we have a very precise kriya. You read from here to here, this is the famous hayom. And we make some sort of mix up, and we finish within two psukim of the end, so you've only got two psukim left. So in that situation, if it's a yomshot where the kriyas are prescribed, and you read exactly this, you go back and you read an extra pot from earlier, in order that you can have three psukim. You don't go on and read from something else, which is not the famous hayom. Yeah, together with three psukim. So that final oyeh should have three psukim. Okay, let's do the next couple of Stephen. They're both short, and then we'll conclude. The shame, Lord Yatsen, likewise, as we've already spoken out, but shouldn't begin the potus megimul psukim within three psukim that has followed the parasha after the beginning of the paragraph. But I'll take the next and the follow, though you assign the thought of the Gimel Psukim. Since you can't begin an aliyah within three psukim of the paragraph, obviously the guy finishing before that aliyah, the previous aliyah, has to make sure not to stop there so that you won't have to start there. That's how it starts the paragraph. That's how it goes. And if you have made, in other halakha relevant, again, when you fix the aliyahs yourself, in an independent manner, if Chavi, the Haskel, Tommy, the Dovah Toy, the Yisrael, the Stein, the Dovah Toy. Why should they take care not to begin or end with something negative? For Shaylo Yisrael, we shall also like there are some people that simply one shouldn't conclude with a bad action, somebody who did something bad. It's for this reason that it's common in Parshas Devarim. There's an Aliyah chain which begins with the Pasuk Eichai Salavari, which we even read in the tune of Eichot. That's common to actually not make the stop there and make it a possible earlier, not because of the halakha, so here on this, so we should begin with a double choice. Okay, so we'll stop.